You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Ordinary Vegan's podcast number 12. If you're new to this podcast, I am Nancy Monturi, and I have a passion and commitment to improving human health. And I do that by advocating a plant-based diet, full or part-time. A plant-based diet, also called a vegan diet, consists of unrefined or minimally refined plants. It is a diet based on fruits, vegetables, whole grains like quinoa and brown rice, legumes like black beans and lentils, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. A plant-based diet does not include meat, dairy, or eggs. If you're tuning in for the first time, I highly recommend listening to my first podcast, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet, and podcast number 10, How to Get Optimum Nutrition on a Plant-Based Diet. You can find all my podcasts on iTunes. Just search for Ordinary Vegan or on my website, ordinaryvegan.net/playlist. I would also like to say that I'm on Snapchat and working on some fun stuff. So if you're a Snapchat fan, please follow me at Ordinary Vegan and I'll follow you right back. Now, let's dive into this week's podcast. Yesterday, I read some bad news. A glyphosate test project was launched last year by two organizations called Feed the World and the Organic Consumers Association. This unique project studied urine samples of 130 people. And glyphosate, the most widely used herbicide in the world, was found in the urine of 93% of the participants. Not only that, children had the highest levels, and that really broke my heart. We try so hard to eat right, feed our kids healthy food, and they end up with a chemical called glyphosate in their body. So today I want to talk about glyphosate, but I also want to talk about autism and how glyphosate and gut-friendly foods can play a major role in behavior of children with ADHD or on the autism spectrum. I'd like to preface this by saying I am not an expert on autism, but I have done extensive research on the connection between autism and diet. I know this is a very emotional subject for me and for anyone who has a child with ADHD or autism spectrum disorder. So I take this very seriously. And I'm not saying diet can cure autism, but there is no doubt in my mind, based on my research and from talking to parents who have tried this approach, that eating the right food and avoiding certain chemicals can help alleviate symptoms in some children with autism spectrum disorder and ADHD. Now let's talk about autism. The number of children with autism spectrum disorder is increasing, and scientists are scrambling to determine the reasons why. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 1 in 68 U.S. children has an autism spectrum disorder called ASD. ASD is almost 5 times more common among boys. Even more alarming is the prevalence of autism in the United States, which has increased 119% since the year 2000. Autism is on the rise, and it's now the fastest growing developmental disorder in the United States. Dr. Stephanie Seneff, a research scientist at MIT, has been studying autism for decades. Dr. Seneff focuses her research on gut health and the connection to autism. Based on her studies, Dr. Seneff believes that glyphosate, the world's most widely used herbicide, is the primary driver of autism. She also believes that glyphosate is a major risk to all human health and needs to be completely eliminated. So, what is glyphosate? Glyphosate is an herbicide used to kill weeds. Monsanto brought it to the market in the 1970s under the trade name Roundup. Farmers use glyphosate to kill weeds without killing their crops. Glyphosate is distributed worldwide by agrochemical companies like DuPont and Monsanto. Glyphosate can be hidden in many foods, including wheat, milk, canola oil, corn syrup, and soy. It can be found in all non-organic processed foods. Glyphosate can also be traced to animals fed GMO corn or soy, so it is also in livestock. Companies like Monsanto created genetically engineered crops in 1996 to make their crops Roundup ready. In other words, GMO crops were invented for one reason: to withstand Roundup and the chemical glyphosate, and not to feed the world like some people think. And that rumor got started because Bill Gates, the world's wealthiest man, wanted Africa to embrace genetically engineered food. He was hoping it could solve world hunger. But he did not address the fact that every GMO crop is drenched in the chemical glyphosate. And that is why countries around the world are refusing GMO food. American growers sprayed 280 million pounds of glyphosate on their crops in 2012, according to the U.S. Geological Survey data. That amounts to nearly a pound of glyphosate for every person in the country. Remarkably, 74% of all the glyphosate sprayed on crops since the mid-1970s has been applied in just the last 10 years, as the amount of genetically engineered corn and soybean crops have exploded on both U.S. and global croplands. Not only that, the World Health Organization, WHO, issued a warning about glyphosate and possible links to cancer. Creator of the herbicide, Monsanto, demanded that WHO retract the report, but they refused. Because of that report, many European and Latin American countries now ban the herbicide. In June 2015, two major supermarket chains in Switzerland, concerned for public welfare and the environment, took action into their own hands. They removed all glyphosate products from their shelves and refused to sell any glyphosate-containing products. This came shortly after France banned the herbicide nationally in retail locations, and German retail giant REWE Group revoked all glyphosate products from their 350 stores. Early last year, glyphosate made front page news in Germany. The German beer industry was in shock over glyphosate contamination in their very pure beers. There is actually a German law that guarantees beer's purity and was written over 500 years ago. Under the original version, beer could be made only with barley, hops, water, and yeast. and now that's been tainted. The German chancellor has called for a European Union ban on all glyphosate. Germany, France, and Switzerland are just three of the many countries now joining the movement to ban glyphosate worldwide. Sri Lanka's president also enforced a prohibition on the use or sale of glyphosate products after a health study was published that glyphosate was the main cause for kidney disease in his country. Not only that, 64 nations require labeling, including Russia and China. So how about here in the good old USA? Not only are we not banning glyphosate, we have politicians fighting against GMO labeling laws. In 2014, Vermont became the first state to require mandatory GMO labeling. Connecticut and Maine have also passed GMO labeling laws. In response to these state efforts, our politicians introduced federal legislation dubbed the Deny the Americans the Right to Know Act that wouldn't let states require the labeling of GMO foods and allowed the USDA to determine what GMO information is provided through voluntary labeling. Polls now show that nearly 90% of Americans support labeling of labels on GMO foods. In response to the American public's outcry, the FDA announced it is now going to start testing for glyphosate in foods. In companies like General Mills, Kellogg's, and Campbell's, who contributed large sums of money on a state and federal level to fight our right to know about glyphosate and GMO labeling, are now announcing they will label food products that contain GMOs. They're not doing it because they care about your health. They are doing it because the public pushed back. By the way, Dr. Seneff isn't the only one concerned about the connection between glyphosate and disease. Additional studies are discovering links between the increase in gut disorders and glyphosate. Gut disorders are one of the most common medical conditions associated with autism. The CDC found that children with autism are 3 to 5 times more likely to suffer chronic gastrointestinal disorders. Researchers also found a link between gut disorders and autism severity in children. Toxins produced by abnormal gut bacteria may trigger or worsen autism in children. Dr. Seneff's research shows that glyphosate works as an antibiotic that kills the good bacteria in the gut. This allows pathogens to overgrow and cause disease. It also interferes with essential minerals like iron, sulfur, and manganese. We depend on the mineral manganese to alleviate anxiety. Anxiety disorders in children with autistic spectrum disorder are common. They can include phobias and obsessive compulsive disorder. Glyphosate also depletes serotonin. Serotonin plays a key role in bowel function, gut health, and mood. The good news is that some autistic and ADHD children's gut bacteria problems can be helped with a gluten-free, casein-free diet, often called GFCF. Many parents who have followed this diet have reported significant improvements in their children's behavior and stomach problems. Why casein-free? If you're not familiar with casein, it is the primary protein in cow's milk. Many children with autism lack the necessary enzymes to break down the casein in the gut. Research has also linked casein to cancer. Biochemist Dr. T. Colin Campbell called casein the most relevant cancer promoter found in the last 50 years. So casein is not healthy for anyone. Eating the right food is essential. There are many healthy substitutes for cow's milk, including non-dairy almond, coconut, or gluten-free rice milk. There are also some excellent casein-free cheese options. Make sure you always check the ingredients. Casein hides in the strangest places. Also, please don't think a child needs a calcium supplement because they are no longer drinking cow's milk. According to Dr. Cindy Schneider, the medical director of the Center for Autism Research and Education, calcium supplements is a double-edged sword. She said many people in the autism world worry if you go dairy-free, you must take calcium. She also says that a lot of women have died prematurely because they were told they needed to supplement their diet with 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day. Here is why. Calcium cannot get into the bones if one is deficient in vitamin D. If you don't check your vitamin D level, and almost all of us have a normal or normal low level, the calcium is not getting into your bones where you want it to be. Instead, it is calcifying your arteries, which makes your brain and your heart age prematurely. So please be very cautious with calcium supplements. Gluten, on the other hand, is sometimes harder to avoid. Gluten hides in many common foods like soy sauce, hot dogs, and condiments. Studies have confirmed an association between gluten sensitivity and autism. Gluten sensitivity can trigger bowel disorders and digestive symptoms, including bloating, constipation, and diarrhea. Avoiding gluten is much easier these days because there is a glut of gluten-free foods on the market. And the only way to completely avoid gluten is not to use any processed foods. Other foods your children should avoid are refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup, sucrose, enriched bleached flour, white rice, white pasta, and white bread. Hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils are another threat. Sadly, the food industry will claim their oil is trans fat free simply by adjusting the serving size until the trans fat content falls under 0.5 grams per serving. They will often call their oil natural, which leads the consumer to think that means healthy. Unfortunately, it doesn't. The word natural is not regulated, and anyone can put it on their packaging. It is sad how brands have so little respect for consumers and think it's okay to deceive them. Another ingredient to avoid is called sodium nitrate. Food companies include sodium nitrate into certain foods for preservation. You can find sodium nitrate in hot dogs, processed meat, bacon, donuts, French fries, chips, crackers, and cookies. Look at the labels carefully. If you don't know what the ingredient is, don't feed it to your child. One of the greatest gifts you can give your child is to no longer serve them any processed foods. Now, let's talk about some foods that can help heal your child's gut disorder. The best diet for children on the autism spectrum or with ADHD is a diet rich in minerals like manganese, sulfur, folate, and iron. Foods rich in manganese can help reduce anxiety. Manganese is found in garbanzo beans, spinach, pineapple, and pumpkin seeds. The mineral manganese helps regulate blood sugar levels and helps alleviate anxiety. The best thing about these manganese-rich foods is that there are quite a few that are kid-friendly. Most kids like hummus, which are made with garbanzo beans. I would also try mashing garbanzo beans with vegan mayo and spreading that on toast instead of a turkey sandwich. Always throw some roasted pumpkin seeds into their lunchbox. The same goes for nuts. Mineral-rich manganese is one of the best things you can feed your child. Now let's talk about sulfur. Sulfur-rich foods include cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and kale. Brussels sprouts, turnips, and bok choy are also rich sources of sulfur. Sulfur helps resist bacteria in the gut. They can also help rebuild the intestinal lining that causes gut bacteria. So the more sulfur-rich foods, the better. I know it's a little harder to get kids to eat vegetables, but it's very easy to hide sulfur-rich ground flax seeds in oatmeal, soups, etc. I recommend at least 1 tablespoon a day. Also, kids usually like walnuts, which are also sulfur-rich and good for a lunchbox. I make a delicious baked macaroni and vegan cheese with cauliflower that no one would know wasn't real cheese. It is creamy and crunchy and sulfur and folate rich. You can find it on my website by searching for cauliflower, and I will include a link in this week's show notes. By the way, gut bacteria living in the intestines has also been linked to depression. So sulfur-rich foods are great for anyone battling depression. Low zinc and iron are also highly cited as biomarkers in autism. Iron and zinc-rich foods include sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, lentils, garbanzo beans, and cashews. Iron-rich foods include lentils, blackstrap molasses, spinach, chickpeas, beans, quinoa, tahini, and cashews. Folate-rich foods are great for neural development, and those include leafy greens, asparagus, beans, peas, lentils, avocados, nuts, seeds, beets, celery, carrots, and squash. I recommend avocado sandwiches on toast, topped with some chia seeds. Most kids like avocado, and it's a great addition to their diet. Also, beans. They are a gut's best friend, contrary to the bad reputation they get from making gas. If you have gas from beans, prepare your beans with a little baking soda. Baking soda neutralizes acid and works fast in giving relief from stomach problems like gas. The best part of this diet plan is there's no downside to your child's health. A mineral-rich diet can enhance overall health and help prevent many other common diseases. We don't have all the answers yet. More research is necessary. But healthy, organic, gluten-free, casein-free, mineral-rich food is a great place to start. If you plan to make these diet changes, please speak to a nutritionist who specializes in GFCF diets. You can learn more about gluten-free, casein-free diets on the Autism Research Institute website. I recommend that after establishing a plan for a safe and complete diet, set up reliable ways to measure your child's response to the diet. Perhaps keep a diary as your child starts the diet. Ask yourself, what are the changes you are seeing? Is his or her stomach problems improving? Things like that. I would also give it ample time to see the benefits. Now, let's go to Ordinary Vegan's Kitchen and make a mineral-rich, kid-friendly meal. Does your child like chicken fingers? Well, here's a quick, rich version. Here's what you'll need. 1 package of extra firm, calcium-rich organic tofu, or you could use plant-based chicken strips like those made by Beyond Meat. You press the excess water out of the tofu with paper towels very gently, and then you slice that tofu into finger-sized pieces. In a medium bowl, combine 1/2 cup of gluten-free, non-GMO, panko breadcrumbs. 2 tablespoons of sulfur-rich ground walnuts. You can grind them in a food processor. 2 tablespoons of sulfur-rich ground flax. 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper. Place the tofu in the breadcrumb mixture and cover the tofu on all sides with the breadcrumbs. Then, heat about a teaspoon of GMO-free oil in a nonstick pan over medium heat. Then just brown those little tofu fingers in the oil on each side until they're brown on all sides, and this only takes about 5 minutes or even less. And then just drain them on a paper towel. You can also bake them for about 20 minutes in a 375 degree oven, turning occasionally until they're browned. That is it. This simple, sulfur-rich meal can help fight gut bacteria. Also, you can serve these with a non-GMO barbecue sauce, ketchup, or with the sweet mustard sauce, which is a crowd favorite. Just whisk together a quarter cup of vegan mayonnaise, a teaspoon of ground flax, a half a teaspoon of Dijon mustard, a half a teaspoon of yellow mustard, a half a teaspoon of maple syrup, a half a teaspoon of lemon juice, and about a quarter teaspoon of salt, which is optional. You might want to taste it first to make sure it needs salt. I highly recommend serving these little vegan chicken fingers with a side of manganese-rich sweet potatoes. By preheating the oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit, cover a baking sheet with parchment paper, peel two sweet potatoes and slice them in quarter-inch wide strips like French fries. Spread the sweet potato slices in a single layer on the prepared baking sheet, and then just bake until the sweet potatoes are tender and golden brown, turning occasionally. This only takes about 20 minutes. Always remember, sweet potatoes are one of the healthiest foods you can feed your child because they are manganese rich and can help any child or adult with anxiety. They also have numerous B vitamins, which are very important for the digestive system, 4 grams of protein, and 7 grams of fiber. What more could you ask for? I hope you enjoy this plant-based children's meal as much as we did. You can find this recipe and all my recipes at ordinaryvegan.net/recipes. If your child is currently on a gluten-free, casein-free diet, or you plan to do that in the future, I made some temporary tattoos with a cute little dog that says, "No egg, no gluten, and no dairy for me." These tattoos are great for camp or school, and when your child is offered something to eat, he can show his tattoo. I would be happy to send you one free if you send me a self-addressed, stamped envelope to Ordinary Vegan, P.O. Box 422, La Cañada, California, 91012. That is Ordinary Vegan, P.O. Box 422, La Cañada, California, 91012, while supplies last. I will also put the address in this week's show notes. Last but not least, please don't feel guilty about what you have been feeding your children. We are all victims of false advertising and confusing nutrition information. I even get confused sometimes, which is why I research, research, and research, so you don't have to. I am here for one purpose, to teach you how food can be your medicine for a long and healthy life. That's it for today. Thank you all for joining us. Keep that feedback coming. I love hearing from you. If you have any questions, email me at questions@ordinaryvegan.net, or you can also send me a voice message on my website. Just hit the record button. If you get a minute, please write a review on iTunes, because the more reviews the podcast gets, the more prominently it will be featured in iTunes, which means reaching more people with our plant-based message. I will post an iTunes link in this week's show notes. We also have an amazing supportive health and wellness community on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan and hit like. There's over 300,000 people there. Thanks for joining me on this adventure today. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time,